The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Let it snow, baby. I don't know if we're going to get any more. That was lovely last night, though. I'm telling you. I need a little pick-me-up. We finished the Seahawks post-game show and then walked outside, and that's when it first started snowing here in downtown Seattle. Had a couple inches on the ground. And I tell you what, that is a mood lifter. But then here's the problem. So about, 12:30, 1 a.m., I'm still awake. My wife's been asleep, but she woke up and said hi to me. And I realized last February, when it snowed real big time, I couldn't get out of my driveway because there's a little hill from where my garage is to the street. And I thought, I should be parked right at the top of the hill. So, and as you know, I sleep in the nude. So now I got to pull on.
I don't know from personal experience. I know just because you told me.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yes. Everybody knows it, but it's not like I've slept okay. with everybody. So anyway, now I'm pulling on whatever I can find so I can move my car out of the garage up onto a place where I know I can get out of the driveway. And then I wake up this morning and it's bare and wet.
Well, for you, yeah.
I could.
For you, and for me, it was a great drive as well. It was almost one of the best drives I've had in months.
I know.
There were some places that got 8 to 9 inches.
I know. I wish I was there. All I'm saying is I denudified myself last night for absolutely no good reason whatsoever. All right, let's get right to our top story.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So as everybody knows, nothing fills me with boyish enthusiasm like snow. And the other most boyishly enthusiastic person I know is Nick Allard at Cairo 7. So I welcome him in to tell me what is to come.
Heyo.
Hey, what's going on, Nick?
Oh, you know, just I got my snow boots on with my suit. I look pretty good. I got snow Nick in full effect.
Yeah, I'm still wearing my Skechers today.
Well, yeah, but you're going to do that regardless, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You wear Skechers to bed, in the shower.
Yes.
All
yes.
that stuff.
Oh, they're comfy.
Yeah. They
okay, are. So now Morgan Palmer, when I talked to him on Friday, he said, here's what could happen, but of course, you guys are going to know more as we get closer. So so now with 3 more days of numbers and data, what's going on? What's going to happen here?
Well, today, not much. I mean, you'll see some occasional snow showers. The max you'd see out of it would be an inch or something, but I think it'd be trace amounts and not a whole lot. What we're sitting on, though, we're waiting for the north wind to kick in. So it's sitting there in Bellingham at, I think it's about 18 or 19 degrees. At different times of the morning, it felt like 4. You know, they have wind chill advisories in effect because of that. And the north wind extends into Everett, but it doesn't extend any farther south than that. So everybody else, we're 33, 36, 37, so it's like a tropical paradise. And so some of the snow is melting, and we're just not as cold as we could be and as dry as we should be yet. So I think the north wind will kick in a little bit later today or tonight, and then we'll drop into the 20s, teens and 20s. That's the big part of it. We'll also have some snow showers overnight. I don't think you'll see a ton, but isolated spots could see trace amounts to an inch, and they look just like scattered snow showers. Dry day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Next round could be Wednesday. Might see a few snow showers overnight and Wednesday, especially north. But then in the afternoon and evening, that's the next system we're keeping an eye on. Now, initially, what it looked like was some snow developing that night, carrying through Thursday, and then turning into sort of a rain-snow mix on Friday. Latest run shows some snow developing later Wednesday to either a rain-snow mix or just rain on Thursday and then sort of pushing out of it on Friday. So I've seen it move too much, and I don't want to rely on that too much.
I'm not changing
my 7-day yet.
Okay.
I'm going to let it go through at least one more time before I change my mind.
Okay, but as I told Morgan, I was hoping for somewhere between 8 and 42 inches.
Sure, that's a pretty decent realm. Now, at 42 inches, though, I don't think the Blue Angels can fly.
Don't start with me.
Oh, I started.
No, don't start. because
when I got the text that I was going to be on your show, I was like, well, I mean, it's been about 6 months since I brought up the Blue Angels.
Here's what you're going to learn. I don't know how and I don't know when, but when somebody starts something, Yep. I finish it.
Yes, you do. That's why I love bringing it up and walking away, because you're going to win.
All right. Okay, but so probably not much more.
At this point, I would say no.
In the greater Seattle area.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could still see some isolated spots. I think we could still see some snow, but I want to see it come through a little bit differently first. Right now, I'm not too enthused. Plus, let me add one more thing. If you wanted to look at it from the, you know, behind the science weather perspective, there'll be a lot of low-level east wind, and that really can dry out the low level. So you'd be seeing snow, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm not seeing snow. Where's the snow? It's because it's melting.
Man. Okay. That's all... I was all looking forward to this week.
I mean, if I was there, I'd give you a hug. There'd be some significant room between us, but I'd give you like an air hug.
No, I, you know what? I'm not much of a hugger.
Yeah.
You, I'd make an exception.
Ooh.
No, I find you to be a very handsome man.
Well, I mean, you're not off. You're not too far off on that one.
All right.
What do you think about double chins? I got like 12. You okay with that?
Yeah, it's just more of you to love, Nick. That's the way I look at that.
Somebody should, you know?
All right. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. Okay. Nick Allard, Cairo 7 News. Doggone it. So we're not going to have anything.
Well, we had enough. Maybe next week. And he said he's going to give it one more day.
No. It's, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, you were never going to get the 42 inches.
Well, I wanted the 8.
You know what? Why don't you go to the mountains?
Do you think I'm made of time? I want it to come to me. But, okay. Are Seattle schools open or closed today?
They were 2 hours delayed today.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess that's acceptable. Because, yeah, if they were closed, that would have been silly. But I know a lot of districts are today. One other thing I wanted to point out. The city of Seattle sent out from Seattle Human Services. And I said over the weekend, I went on Twitter, and I said, of course, we should provide a warm bed for everybody who wants one. Sadly, most people who are out on the streets, they deny any services. They have, and it's very sad and tragic, but they've made living on the streets, using drugs, because they don't want any rules, any restrictions, but they've made living on the streets, sadly, their lifestyle of choice. But I said, we should provide a warm bed to everybody who wants one. I've always said that. I always will believe that. I was wondering, though, since there are a lot of people who do not avail themselves of services, since Jenny Durkin last week said, if you don't shovel your sidewalk, you'll get fined. I was wondering, if there are people on your sidewalk, will the city of Seattle come and move them so you can shovel your sidewalk to avoid the fine, or do you have to just work around those people? And then also I saw that, remember at Christmas time? I love Nordstrom as a company. I think very highly of Nordstrom. I have many friends within the organization, and all three of my daughters, when they were in high school, college, they worked at Nordstrom. Love it. But I was really disappointed with Nordstrom when they told the Salvation Army, you cannot have a bell ringer. After some like 30 years, a bell ringer raising hundreds of thousands of dollars outside of the downtown Nordstrom, and Nordstrom said, no more bell ringers. And the Salvation Army said, why not? And they said, some of our LGBTQ employees are uncomfortable because the Salvation Army is a Christian organization. They do a lot of good, the Salvation Army. They do more housing of homeless and provide more beds and meals than any organization. And then I noted this. Seattle Human Services sent out this notice about a severe weather center or shelter at the Seattle Center in the exhibition hall. And it's this week when temperatures are expected to dip, and anybody can go and have a warm place to sleep, which is what I want, from 8 p.m. to 9 a.m. or 7 a.m. for the next week. And then in the smallest font, it says, the Severe Weather Center serves adults 18 and older, all genders, and is operated by the Salvation Army. I thought, really? So we can't allow the Salvation Army to ring bells on downtown streets at Christmas time because it makes some people uncomfortable because they're a Christian organization. But when the city of Seattle needs a way to take care of people who need to come in from the elements in this coldest of weeks, the Salvation Army is who they turn to. And why? Because they are fantastic at it. They do more of this than any other organization. That's what they do with the money they raise. And I think, once again, it illustrates that Nordstrom's position on kicking out the bell ringer was shameful. And the city of Seattle, yet, maybe now that I'm mentioning this, somebody's going to, you know, raise holy heck. But so far, the city of Seattle, which is the most politically correct of entities, hasn't been cowed by those who say, oh, it's a Christian organization. Go deal with them. So good job to the Salvation Army, and I'm glad that the city of Seattle is working with them to provide shelter for everybody who needs it as the temperatures drop this week. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And it was Jason Rantz on KTTH who first broke the story last week. But let's just go over the facts of what happened. People got sick of me talking about it. You even noted off the air that I had become obsessed with the story.
Well, you've been in my office many times talking about it, which, you know, kudos to you. You and I have a slightly different reaction to this story. We both look at it and say this is depraved that some Seattle businesswoman is going to mock the death of a father and his 9-year-old daughter because they dared to be on a hunting trip. But I didn't take it from a position of a father because that's not what I am, but you are.
I am, and I mean, there's, first of all, before I get into, I think, why this has so deeply affected me emotionally, let's just go through and a recitation of the facts of this. So a father and a 9-year-old girl, daughter, they were hunting in South Carolina. And in an unimaginable accident, they were shot and killed by other hunters who mistook them for deer.
Correct.
And that's when the Seattle business, restaurant business partner jumped in, and that's when you jumped in.
Yeah, so the story was posted on Twitter by NBC News, and people reacted the way that you generally would react to such a tragic story, except for one person who kind of jumped out for everybody who saw this string of comments. Lana Kiyosofsky, who was listed as a business partner of St. John's Bar and Eatery on Capitol Hill, her reaction was despicable. It was 1.5 less MAGA billies in the world. At least they died supporting their beloved Second Amendment. Now, people dragged them. They ended up doxing them, which is wrong.
Sure.
But I did think it was important to put this out there as someone who is despicable in our own backyard. People should know what she's writing on Twitter. It wasn't even the only nasty thing she's written, but certainly the most depraved and morally bankrupt position I've seen taken.
Well, I mean, her other tweet where she asked the Iranians to take this MF-er Trump out, I'd say that's kind of morally depraved.
There are lots of, but if we had a competition, there would be lots of entries.
Yeah.
But she, of course, since then has taken down all of her Facebook, her Twitter, her Instagram feeds. The website for St. John's Bar and Eatery deleted the entire About Us page that listed her as a business owner. Then her husband, who's the co-owner, sent me a note saying, oh, she has nothing to do whatsoever. She's just involved by proxy.
Right.
Which, okay, but that's not what you said on your own website
right.
that you took down. So people started to talk about this, though, in the media, kind of slim pickings. It was me who broke the story. Then you started to advance the story more. King 5, the only TV station that I'm aware of, picked up the story.
Right.
But that's kind of it.
Yeah.
You and I started to talk about how despicable this comment was and how we don't necessarily want Seattle to continue to be known for these kinds of things.
Right. And so that gets to what you were starting to say. This affected me on two levels. One, as the father of three girls, and I think it's especially important for dads to find ways to connect with their daughters because it's a little easier with dads and boys because you can go to sporting events, you go golfing together, and you can do all those things with daughters too. I recognize that. But I think that, you know, walking in nature, even though I'm not a hunter and could never be a hunter, I think that's a very wholesome thing. You're away from electronics, you're away from social media, and All you have to do when you're out there is communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a beautiful thing for parents and kids to do. And so the mocking of the death of this girl was shocking to me from the Seattle woman. And then the other thing, and you just touched on it, Jason, every time Seattle's in the news nationally, it's because we've lost our minds, whether it's, you know, the heroin problem, whether it is, I mean, you name it.
I've literally been on Fox News like a dozen times only talking about the negative because of how horrible things are portrayed
here. A transgender stripper, drag stripper performing at a homelessness conference on the taxpayer dime. I mean, these are the kinds of stories. And now this one, while nobody in the local media besides us picked up on it in King, this was a big national story that a Seattle restaurant owner was gleefully mocking the death of a 9-year-old and her father. And I don't want us to just be known. I was born here. I was raised here. I've lived here and raised my family here. I don't want this region to be known for the insanity of these radicals who have a disproportionate voice relative to their importance. And so here's what we've done. There is a T-shirt company that we talked to. They were in. They're handling the transaction for us and all this. But we have made, the woman's tweet said 1.5 less hashtag MAGABillies in the world. So we have made T-shirts that simply say hashtag MAGABilly. That's all it says. It's not a political thing. It's not about promoting the radio stations.
Logos are nowhere found on this T-shirt.
This is all we're doing is trying to raise money. We're selling the T-shirts for $20 plus shipping. All the profits we're going to send. Nicole was once again texting with the mother who lost her little girl this weekend. And we're going to send all of the profits and proceeds to this family in South Carolina. And I'm hoping that this story takes off the way her ugly tweet did from Lana Kiyosofsky. And I hope that people can see that we're not all insane up here in the northwest part of the world, and that a lot of us have human compassion that is not blinded by our politics.
It's $20 that's not only going to get you a T-shirt that sends a message that we should all be getting behind, because this is a message actually of uniting people rather than dividing people, but it also goes to help this family.
Exactly.
And so the next time this family ever hears of anything having to do with Seattle, they're not necessarily reminded purely of this one despicable tweet by this one horrible woman.
Yeah. So let's galvanize and let's show that all together we can show that we have some love out here and not just blinded by political hate. And so we're asking you, if you want the link to get one of these shirts or 5 or 10, a bunch of different colors, all sizes, just text the word love to 98973, our text line. Text the word love to 98973. We'll send you the link if you want to order one or more of these shirts. And also we have a link up with the story at mynorthwest.com. But let's turn the soulless, dark ugliness of this restaurant owner on Capitol Hill into something that'll help out this family that is still grieving so deeply.
And shout out to Art City Apparel, the company who is helping us out with this. They don't need to, but they're choosing to because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, they're doing the shirts at their cost, and all the profits are going to go
which
to
which color shirt did you get? Because I bought mine. I got camo.
Yeah, we have camo, purple. I'm going with black.
And did you say why we picked purple, actually? We kind of had a message about this, because it's not about a political thing. We're not saying MAGAs and we're all Trump supporters and this is what you're wearing the shirt for.
Yeah, Nicole
it's nothing
and I
about politics.
Had a phone conversation about this a couple of days ago, and they talk about purple states. And, the combination of red and blue is purple. And we thought that if you wanted the purple shirt, it would just be a, hey, this isn't about politics. This is about just sending some love to a family that's grieving from a part of the world that all too often is known for the hatred from the radicals here.
And if St. John's Bar and Eatery wants to do the right thing, because they tell me after 3 emails about how I should have taken down my story, never wrote it to begin with, they should also promote this. Let's all get behind this shirt. If you truly believe that your co-owner / wife's tweet was as horrific as you're saying, well, how about get behind something like this? This doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world for them to get behind.
We'll take you on.
It's gonna happen.
I'm not holding my breath on that one. Jason, thanks a lot, appreciate
Thank you.
It Jason Rats, hear him every afternoon 3 to 6 on 770 KTTH. Send text the word love to 98973. That's 98973. That is your big lead.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, the Seahawks season came to an end last night. So what's next? Michael Bumpus, one of my pregame and postgame co-hosts. He will join me from the VMAC to talk about that coming up next.
down to the nightclub.
Yes, it's time to take a little road trip to Bump City, as we do after every Seahawks game. Michael Bumpus, part of our pre- and post-game crew, he joins us from the VMAC. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you too, Dory.
I know, but I'm kind of melancholy right now, Bump, because this is going to be our last one of these this season, and I was planning on going for at least two more games.
Yeah, I was right there with you, but, you know, all good things must come to an end. Sometimes it happens before you expect it, but end of the day, great season. It's been a blast covering this team and especially hopping on with you after I talked to Pete.
Yeah, and tell me about the conversation with Pete today, because in the post-game press conference yesterday, he was visibly emotional, which suggested to me that he really thought they were going to keep moving on and make it to the NFC Championship game and get another crack at the 49ers. How was his whole attitude and demeanor when you guys talked to him this morning?
It was almost like he was in disbelief, you know, just like some of us, because when you see that offense get rolling in the second half, you really start to think, okay, here we go. These guys are going to get it done. He knows what they're up against. He knows the adversity that they fought with all the injuries. But at the end of the day, he felt like they had a chance to win the ball game, and I think that's what hurts the most. Now, if the offense would have came out that second half and didn't do anything, it didn't produce, then the writing's on the wall, and you kind of get it. But he felt they had a chance, and, you know, there are a couple questionable calls as far as the referees goes. He pointed that out a bit, but Pete Carroll, he doesn't harp on it. He doesn't dwell on it. It is what it is. He moves on, and I think this one's going to sting a bit more.
You know, it's what's so interesting, and I'm sure you've come to appreciate this, but after the New England Patriots lost, Bill Belichick had his mandatory Monday press conference, and people were trying to ask him about the future of the team and the future of Tom Brady. And Belichick gave him his, you know, typical Bill Belichick, you know, 3, 4, 5 word answers. And he said, "I'm just focused on the game we just played," which didn't even make any sense because you need to flush the game you just played after you lose. But he just didn't want to talk. And with you, Pete Carroll was just trying to lift everybody up and any fans who were listening and talk about how bright the future is. And it is just such an amazing contrast. The two most successful coaches of our time in the NFL, they couldn't possibly be more different.
Yeah, they're completely different. And they're both successful, so you can't say one approach is better than the other one. But I know which approach I like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the Pete Carroll approach, man. And that's the way he lives his life. And because he lives his life that way, he's had success, and he's able to captivate the 12s and captivate this football team and get guys believing, because you feel a sense that he really believes in his philosophy and his approach and his teammates and his organization. So, no, it's refreshing. I've never been around a coach that took that approach and stuck to it no matter what.
Yep, exactly. The other thing I enjoyed in your conversation today, Michael, was because so many people come up to me, why do they get off to such slow starts? And yesterday was a classic example where they're down 21-3 at halftime. Things looked hopeless. And then the second half, they score touchdowns on the first three possessions. And everyone says, why can't they start the game the way they finish? And I thought he had a great response about the relentlessness of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and you know, I asked that question myself. Why can't they start the way they finish? And I think it's simply because they know who they are and they're going to give themselves a chance to be who they are. And they want to run the football, you know. And at some point, I asked him as well. I go, do you look at Russell and say, okay, it's time to go. You take this game over now. And he said, definitely. You know, so they're in constant communication, but they're going to give their game plan a chance. And if the game plan isn't working, then you just let you're the best player on the field, be the best player on the field, and that's Russell Wilson. And, you know, unlike last year, I feel like, excuse me, against the Dallas Cowboys, it took them too long to make the switch and get going.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like maybe late in the third, early fourth quarter, they said, okay, let's let Russell do it. Whereas now they live and they learn, and they knew, okay, if we're not going to be able to run the football, we just got to let number three be special. And that's exactly what they did.
And I pulled a couple of plays here. You know, usually you pull the big touchdown plays, but I pulled a couple others that I thought illustrated that.
Play fake to Marshawn. Russell steps up right side, has time. Now he's going to scramble. Starts inside 30, 25, slides down at the 25-yard line of Green Bay.
That was Russell just running for 11 yards and then just getting really creative here.
Four-man rush for Green Bay. Russell takes the shotgun snap. Still looking. Now he's got a scramble right side. Now he steps up. Shovel pass. Luke Wilson picks it up and takes it inside the 20-yard line. The awareness of Russell Wilson to get that ball out of his hands and just flip it to Luke Wilson, who takes it right up the gut for 8 yards.
And those are unconventional plays for most quarterbacks. And yet, that's what he does, and especially when the other team is starting to wear down, because defenses wear down in the second half a bit. And it just strikes me that he's rather uniquely poised to take advantage of, you know, any step slow that the opponent is.
Yeah, you said it, Dor. He wears a defense down. It's like he throws a jab for 6 rounds, and then here comes the hook. And here comes the uppercut. Then he starts hitting you with a whole bunch of different things. And that's what he's shown right there. And he's not afraid to make the difficult play. He's not afraid to toss the ball to Luke Wilson, not only once, but twice. He's not afraid to take off and run down the field 20 yards for a first down. He's super patient. He's poised. He's calm. And he's a clear-cut leader. And like I said before, he just wears a defense down. And eventually, once you try to take away one part of the game, another part of the game opens up. If you want to take away the deep ball and keep your safeties over the top, he'll take something under the knee or he'll run with his legs. He's just always ready to adjust. And not only adjust, but adjust mid-play. He'll take exactly what the defense is giving him. Great display of just leadership and moxie by Russell Wilson.
So what's the future for this team? Because San Francisco's really good. San Francisco's young, seemingly on the rise. But we're seeing it year after year, Michael. You got to win the division, and you got to get a home playoff game. And this wild card road is just too challenging. So what's the future for Seattle as they try to close the gap with the 49ers?
I think the future's bright. Offensively, I don't think they need to do much. They just need to get healthy. Get all your offensive linemen healthy. Get your two running backs healthy. And I think they'll be fine there. Defensively, they need to do some things to that defensive line. It's all about the big boys, like I said on the Pete Carroll show. If you don't have an offensive line that can protect your quarterback or a defensive line who can get after the quarterback, it's going to be tough for you. And they showed this year that the defense was a bend but don't break, but they need a defense that's just going to get after it. And it all starts with the big boys. You got to make sure Jadeveon Clowney comes back. We'll see Anza's health there. And then the interior linemen, we'll see what moves they make there. But if there's anything they need to improve on, it's that defensive line and maybe another guy in the secondary.
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney, a free agent who might get $20 million a year as a free agent. They got a huge decision to make there, too. All right, Michael, it's been a really fun season. I've enjoyed it. The party that I never want to throw is next Sunday now, because usually I wish I was working on AFC-NFC Championship Day.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I wish we were working, but at least I get to go hang out with you now.
Okay. All right. I look forward to it. All right, Michael, I appreciate it. Loved it all season. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dory.
Okay.
Down to the nightclub.
Michael Bump is with us from the VMAC. Your thoughts, you can always text me at 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Wow. What a response. What a response. We mentioned the Magabilly t-shirts that we can send you a link to if you text the word love to 98973. And I will tell you that, this is going to be hard, man. The mother of the 9-year-old girl who was shot and killed in South Carolina is going to join us right after the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the big lead. The mother of that girl, we've been in touch with them about our efforts to help facilitate this t-shirt thing. And based on the initial reaction in the text messages, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed because, you know, as Jason said when I had him on at the beginning of the hour, he has never seen me so deeply affected by a story. And as I said, it was on two levels, as the father of girls and as a Seattleite who's heartbroken. Heartbroken at what's happened to our city. That radical hate seems to dominate the discussion. I mean, where a, you know, longtime business owner there on Capitol Hill can be gleeful about a little girl, this Lana Kiyosofsky. I tell you what, I would love, I know Jason's reached out to, you know, and been in touch with her husband. Jeez, I would love to talk with them. I'd love to talk with the husband. Because if my wife sent out tweets that celebrated the death of a child, I'd have a lot of trouble being with that person. I don't understand that. And again, it's all because she figured, oh, they were hunting. If they're hunters and they're from South Carolina, they must be Trump fans. And if they're Trump fans, I hate them. And I'm thrilled that they were shot to death accidentally. And there's something, I mean, this isn't just thinking wrong. It's like it has altered the chemistry of the brains of a lot of people. Their deep hatred of Trump. And I was talking about this last week where a lot of people were upset with me for saying this. But after Iran fired the 15 missiles, and then the next day we had people like Pramila Jayapal who were still trying to talk about what how this was World War III. And, I mean, I heard people in the media, local and national, saying that this is going to be World War III. And then it turns out, well, we took out a bloodthirsty terrorist. And in response, Iran said, hey, get into the bunkers. We're sending missiles. We don't want anyone hurt, but we got to tell our people we sent a message. And so the next day I'm hearing Pramila Jayapal, and I swear to you, I think there were some people, including some members of Congress, who were disappointed that nobody was killed in those missile strikes aimed at American forces. Because they realized that this was a big win for America. And there are just a lot of people whose hatred for the president is greater than their love for the country. And this isn't a full-throated, robust endorsement of the president, but it's an observation that if you've allowed yourself, like the Seattle restaurant business partner, if you've allowed yourself to become so clouded because of your hatred, that doesn't say anything about the guy you hate. It says everything about you. So if you want to get one of these MAGAbility t-shirts, all the proceeds go into the family. Text the word love to 98973. Love to 98973. Fast 15 next.